teaching us, let's start at verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. That means without alcohol or anything that would influence our mind, any drugs that would influence our minds adversely. Righteously, that is being right with God, and godly in this present world. Verse 13, and here's where the title of the message comes from. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And verse 14, we often don't quote verse 14, but it's so critical to verse 13. Who gave himself for? Class, Sunday school class. What is the word for? Huper, do you remember? Substitute in place of. Who gave himself in place of as a substitute for us, that he might do what? Redeem us from all iniquity. And that redeem there is very important that you understand that word is from lutros. And again, we've said it over and over in the church and in the Sunday school class. Set free. That's the meaning of that. Set free from the marketplace of the world. From a marketplace. Just as if you went down to a marketplace and you had lots of money in your pocket and you want to buy all these materialistic and goody things. God's salvation sets you free from all of that, from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Now, I heard from this pulpit several years ago someone say that that's a strange people. That's not what that means at all. And we'll come to it again in a few minutes here. Zealous of good works. What made me think that tonight might be the time to have this discussion and preaching and teaching was because of this picture that I put on the internet this week. This is Octavia, one of my great-grandchildren. And there were some rabbits in our backyard. And she got her glasses out and started watching, looking at those rabbits. And this topic came to my mind again. Titus 2:13. What are you looking for? Well, she was looking for rabbits. The problem today is Americans are looking for something a lot different than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the problem in our nation and in the world. But Octavia's a little cutie, isn't she? And then I remembered the message as I watched that of our pastor this past Sunday morning, that great message he preached. And he had the glasses and he made the dinner table and he was looking. What are you looking for? See? That's the question tonight. One world leader and government? Well, they are. Did you know that? Over the years, I've called quotes about what people were looking for, and they definitely are looking for a one-world leader. That's what the world wants. That's part of our battle today. They're not looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, that blessed hope. They're looking for the new world order, and the new world leader. That'll get us out of all these problems. Ain't going to happen. No world leader that's a man is going to get us out of any troubles. The Antichrist certainly isn't going to get us out of trouble. The false prophet certainly isn't going to get us out of trouble. Matter of fact, they're going to be going around killing people. Millions, just the way the socialists and communists have over the years. They've killed millions. It won't change with a new world order or a new world leader. This is from Richard Nixon in China in February of 1972, each of us has the hope to build a new world order. Richard Nixon. Henry Kissinger. I think that Obama's task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period when really a new world order can be created. And Nelson Rockefeller. That's what he said. The new world order that will answer economic, military, and political problems, he said, urgently requires, I believe, that the United States take the leadership among all free peoples to make the underlying concepts and aspirations of national sovereignty truly meaningful through the federal approach. In other words, no borders, no walls. The new world order. There you go. Nelson Rockefeller. So they are looking for a new world order. Google searches, January 2018, when I first started thinking about this in my office when I was praying and reading the scripture, and I said, I just wonder what people are searching for on Google. I haven't done it lately because I've learned that Google removes things when people search for scripture or scripture quotes. They do not list it. They remove it. So the report is skewed, but even though it's skewed, I thought you might like to see. We wanted to see other people's selfies, too. Here are the five most popular selfie searches. You remember? We're all wanting to know what's going to help me, what's going to benefit me, rather than what's going to benefit my church, my pastor's family, the salvation of others. How can I witness to them better? They don't search for those things. Here's what they search for. Monkey selfie. And there's monkeys taking pictures of themselves. They search for Al Sharpton selfie. They search for Nia Jock selfie. I have no idea who that is, but I'm just copying what they are reporting. Eclipse selfie. In other words, you stand and take a picture of yourself with the eclipse behind you. And Kia Gerber selfie, whoever that is. Here's what we wanted to learn to do during 2017 with the five most popular how-to searches. Well, how do you do this and how do you do that? So, on Google, what are people searching for? How to make slime. You know they put that in the hamburger. A lot of the fast food places. How to make solar eclipse glasses. We even search for that, I'll have to admit, with the solar eclipse. How to watch the solar eclipse. How to watch Mayweather versus McGregor. Top searches now on Google. How to buy Bitcoin. Well, if you had bought Bitcoin back then, now you would be broke. It's not worth a flip. Okay, the 10 most viewed new, and I didn't buy any, by the way. The 10 most viewed news topics were in this order. Number one's Hurricane Irma, remember? Las Vegas shooting, solar eclipse, Hurricane Harvey, Bitcoin price, North Korea, Hurricane Jose, Hurricane Maria, April the giraffe, DACA, deferred action for children arrivals in the United States. That's still an ongoing battle, but that's what people were searching for. Are you looking from afar? Here's what the scripture says, Mark 15:40. There were also women looking on afar off. What were they looking on afar off? Jesus hanging on the cross. You know that's what the world does today. I don't want to see it. Let me stand way back here. I don't want to see it. Among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and of Joseph and Salome. That's just a thought I had. Are you looking back? Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, No man, I was told this once, by the way, having put his hand to the plow by a pastor, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And that's concerning my defense and preservation of the Scripture. As you know, that's one of my, things that I do. And I was told by one of my mentors, you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. Some of your friends and your family have done that. They have put their hands to the plow and they have looked back. But look what the Scripture says. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Don't fuss at me. That's what the Word of God says. Okay? Are you looking to pass by on the other side? Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, that's the wrong verse. All right, I lost it. But you know as well as I do, the Good Samaritan, he passed by. Most of them passed by. Is that not correct? Instead of helping. We don't want to help others because it might interfere with my self-worth and what I might have to spend on somebody else. Are you looking for those in need in the flock? Philippians 2:3-4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, and this is the verse that always gets me, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Boy, we have a problem with that today, don't we? I'm saying they. I have a problem with this. You know? Pride. But the Lord has dealt with me concerning that. Look not every man on his own things. But we all have a tendency to do that, don't we? But every man also on the things of others. Wowee. The church has lost that. The church has lost that. We look on the things of ourselves rather than the things of others. Are you looking for things seen? I read on Facebook the other day, a very well-known scholar said he couldn't believe anything that you could not see. Therefore, he started a new church, the Church of Seeing an Artificial Intelligent Robot. Remember Sister Elsie? She sent that to me. And I just was astounded that the new churches, by those who don't believe in anything you can't see, will be run with an AI robot who is so intelligent, they're going to call him God. That's where we are in the world today. So what are you looking for? And here's what the Scripture says, 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen. See, a lot of people say they can't believe in God because they can't see Him. What a mistake. Those who have the Holy Spirit indwelling, I hope you have a personal relationship with Him. And if you don't, you may have quenched or grieved Him. You remember grieving the Lord or the Holy Spirit is committing sins which grieve the Holy Spirit. Quenching the Spirit is like putting the fire out of the Holy Spirit inside you, who is trying to guide you in your life. Quenching the fire that's inside. And how do you do that? We've said it many times again. No prayer, no going to church, no reading the Bible. That quenches the Holy Spirit. And grieving the Holy Spirit is gross sin. There's been some in our church recently involved in gross sin. Horrible. Allegedly, they say they're saved. But boy, the Holy Spirit has probably almost left. Now, once you're indwelt by the Spirit, of course, you never lose your salvation. Don't misunderstand me here. I don't want anybody to go out and say, well, Doc said you could lose your salvation. There are many churches preaching and teaching that today. They say you can lose your salvation, and therefore lose the Spirit, as they did in the Old Testament. You remember King David was afraid that the Lord was going to take the Spirit away. So they used that as a basis for saying, well, you can lose your salvation. That is not true. Not only that, that was the dispensation of law. We're in the dispensation of grace. Grace, and what a blessing God's grace is for us. I can't get over what He's done for us. All right, let's move on. Are you looking for things seen? Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith, do you know what faith is? I don't need to explain it, do I? Is the substance, assurance. In that verse, the word beneath, the Greek word, is assurance. So now faith is the assurance, if we would, of things hoped for, the evidence, which the word underneath, is proof of things not seen. When you have enough faith, then the Spirit will confirm to you your faith is real in a person. And we're going to talk more about that in Sunday school, incidentally. So, read it again. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may want to remember this. We've mentioned that before concerning that particular verse. Are you looking for a city? Hebrews 11:10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I hope you are. I can't wait to dwell in the New Jerusalem. Someone wrote me not long ago and said that they had understood the New Jerusalem was going to sit down on the earth. Ain't any way. Pardon that old language. Because it's 1,500 miles square. 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500 miles. Can you imagine that new city sitting down on the face of the earth? But there are other reasons too. It's going to hover. God is able to make it hover without any problem at all. He makes the earth hover. He makes the constellations hover where He wants them to be. A new city that's 1,500 square miles, He could hover easily above Jerusalem, Palestine, and that area. And I believe personally, believers will go back and forth from the New Jerusalem that's hovering with the streets of gold and the foundations and all that pertains to that. We'll go back and forth from that New Jerusalem to earth to help serve the Lord on the earth. Revelation tells us we will be working when we're on the other side. You're not going to be able to sit in front of a TV and do nothing. You're going to be working. The Scripture makes that very clear. All right. The Trinity is always looking. Revelation 4:6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, you know, in the renewed world, the earth will always be here. Always, I've heard many people say the earth is going to be destroyed. It's going to be renewed. And in that renewed earth, there will be no sea. And before the throne, there is no sea, there's no water, but it has a glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were four beasts that guard the throne, full of eyes before and behind. Those are the beasts guarding the throne. Now let's go on. Zechariah 3:9. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes watching. Behold, I will engrave the engraving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. It's coming very soon. The iniquity of Palestine and Israel is going to be changed overnight. You remember in a day, the Babylon's going to be destroyed. Trinity is always looking. Zechariah 4:10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord. And what do? Which run to and fro through the whole earth. I think most Christians today honestly forget. There's not a thing that they do that the Lord doesn't see and know. There's not a thing that you think that the Lord doesn't know. You're not going to get away with it. Those seven eyes are everywhere. That means it's complete. He's the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God. That's what that's referring to, those seven eyes there. Psalm 11:4, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. By the way, and we'll cover this in Sunday school some more, where is the Holy Spirit's abode now? See, it was in the old dispensations in heaven. He would come and go. In this dispensation, in Acts 2, He came to make His abode on earth. And if you're saved, He's in you. Whether He's in you or not, He's still observing everything. He's God. He's the O-O-O God also. Okay. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids try. The children of men. He's convicting, reproving. Are you looking for what's coming on the face of the earth? What are you looking for? That's the title tonight. Luke 21:26. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You know when that'll be, don't you? Very shortly. 70th week. Are you looking to live? Oh, are you? Numbers 21:8-9. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. What is that typologically? You all know. Typologically, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look upon the Lord Jesus Christ and believe upon Him, you're going to live. That means eternal life. Simple as that. John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, that's from the book of Daniel, that's his favorite title for himself, may be lifted up. Are you looking upon Him? I ask you that tonight. Are you truly looking upon Him? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Well, that's the secret to life if you don't know that yet. What are you looking for? Titus 2:13-14. That was our verses for tonight. Let's read them again. Looking for that blessed hope. Blessed hope. He's our blessed hope. And there's no question about whether He's coming or not. In the Bible, hope doesn't mean like we think it means hope. You've been taught that, I believe, many, many, many times. The hope in the Bible, the word means we're just waiting for it. It's coming whether you want it or not. It's going to happen. Okay. And the glorious appearing of thee, remember that's the Granville Sharp rule here. Thee means these two superlatives, great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, are the same person. in the language underneath that, that's the Granville Sharp rule, which means that our great God and our Savior is Jesus Christ, same person, okay? And who gave himself for us that he might redeem us, remember Lutros, tell you again, set free from all iniquity. But the problem is with iniquity, that again is self, as you recall. Iniquity is defined in the scripture as selfitis, because we're more interested in ourselves than the Lord Jesus Christ in serving him. Whatever pleases me rather than whatever pleases Christ. All right. And purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. I think I've got it coming up. I made this after the pastor called, so I'm sorry about that. What are you looking for? Are you looking for eternal life? Jude 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Boy, if it wasn't for the Lord's mercy, he would have destroyed this earth a long time ago. And if it wasn't for the Lord's grace, none of us would be saved. Have you looked in a mirror lately? Years ago, when we were in Bible school, and Pat and I at Moody Bible Institute, a book by Dr. Morley, Have You Looked in the Mirror? Or The Man in the Mirror was really the name of the book that we had to go through. Anyway, James 1, 23 to 24, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. What is a glass here? Well, back then, they wouldn't have known what a mirror was, really. A glass back then was a piece of copper or highly polished metal that they looked in and could see their face. Okay, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. Self again, see? And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. What are you looking for? Are you looking for yourself in the mirror? Have you looked in a mirror lately? 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. When you're seeking the Lord's face, what are you doing? The scripture often mentions, seek the Lord's face. You're seeking for his presence in your life, in your prayer closet. You want him there. That's where you want him. All right. Then face to face. Now we see through a glass darkly. That's referring to before the scriptures were completed. They didn't know everything. They couldn't see everything. But once the scriptures were completed, we now have a mirror. And that's why a lot of people avoid the Bible. Okay, they don't want to see themselves in that. They're liars, cheaters, stealers, fornicators, on and on. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. See, the scripture knows you. And when you read it again, you're looking into the mirror. Some people look into that mirror, though, of the scripture, and they see themselves and brag on themselves. Oh, how much I've done. I'm sorry if I'm stepping on some toes, but I'll tell you, I do the same thing. And some mornings I leave my prayer closet weeping because I saw myself there. Okay? Are you looking to get rid of the root of bitterness? What are you looking for? Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That's a problem in a lot of churches, isn't it? Oh, I don't like the color of the carpet. Oh, I don't like what the pastor or the pastor's wife wore today. Oh, I don't like what the pastor said. Pastor roast, you know, Sunday noon roast. He's not here, so I can say all these things, see, because I do brag on him. And you can ask my wife about this. He studies, and I love his preaching. Amen. I'm not saying because Tina's sitting there. You've heard me say it. Those of you that know me in private and I talk to you, I say the same thing in private that I'm saying publicly. Okay? But so many people have this root of bitterness that's killing them. Even about former pastors that were here. You better get rid of it. God doesn't like it. So much bitterness in this world today. That's the problem with all these murders and shootings. Every day anymore you see it in the newspapers. We're almost finished. Let me go on. Are you looking to be blessed? James 1:25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's love, by the way. Love will set you free if you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly loving. That's the secret of being set free. So many people are still trapped in themselves because they don't love. And you can't love, truly love, unless you have the indwelling of the Spirit. So if you're having trouble with bitterness and loving others, you better examine yourselves. Okay, I'm almost through. Are you looking to be without spot or blemish? 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. You better be looking to be without spot and blameless. A member of the church washed by the Holy Spirit that he might present the church a perfect institution, body, people. All right. Are you looking from afar? Mark 15:40. There were also women. We did that. I'm sorry. Okay, that was part of my problem. All these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Here's again the secret. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And who's the ruler of the kingdom of God? Well, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek righteousness. But listen, it's not your righteousness. It's his righteousness imputed to you. Romans 4, imputation. Because he first loved you. You loved him back. He saved you. The Spirit indwells. And as a result, he imputes his righteousness to you. But we're all unrighteous. Except for, if you're saved, his righteousness, because of the blood shed for you. And you've heard it said so many times. Well, God sees the blood of his Son. Why? Because his righteousness has been imputed to you. Okay. Are you looking for Jesus' return? 2 Timothy 4:8. We're almost finished. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing. The pastor preached on this not long ago. Do you truly love his appearing, or are you looking for it for your own self-benefit? Which is it? Do you love him enough that you're looking for him every day? Are you listening for the shout and the trumpet? Boy, I do. Boy, I really do. Okay. Are you looking for mercy? Jude 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Only by his mercy and by his grace do we receive eternal life. Are you looking for judgment and fiery indignation? In Hebrews 10:27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Are you living your life in fear? Are you? If you're worried about those things, then you're not, what should I say, sanctified? Maybe that's the right word to use. Set aside for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not set aside like you should be, then you are going to be experiencing that fear of the Lord coming back again, appearing. Let's move on. Here it is, Titus 2:13 again. And this is what I'm looking for. I hope you are, and then we're going to quit. Looking for that blessed hope. He's coming. And the glorious appearing of the, there it is. And it means that this noun and that noun are linked. The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, the Jehovah Witness and others want to separate that. See, they don't understand the language underneath. But you've been in a church with great teaching and preaching over the years, and I know you've been taught this. I just hope that you believe it. Okay? All right, that's all I had for you tonight. I'm sorry I went 5 minutes over. Don't get after me. I know you're tired. I know you've been working hard. But the Lord is so good, isn't He? Man, what a blessing He is to all of us and to this church. This is an amazing church. Churches are going out one after another. She's got a praise report. Amen. Come on, Sister Gay. Show them. Praise the Lord.
Well, the first time, you know, this year, I got it yesterday, and thanks to a dear, dear friend and a trucker and his wife, it's paid for. God is so good. And I looked at this yesterday and read that tiny plant that I really wanted.
Are you still on, Ed?
You know,
stay on. For those watching by the internet, Mrs. Gay has been legally blind for many, many, many years. And she's been praying for some help 30 years. And here it is. Be patient. Answered prayer again, isn't it, Mrs. Gay?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Brother Leo, closing prayer for us, brother.